And we have Chief McGill here to speak to the service levels that will be provided through the investigation process. So, Chief?
It's all muffled. How come? It's all muffled. What's going on?
Jerry, your voice, it's all muffled.
Keep the microphone below your chin, facing up, and just talk over the top of it.
Okay. No, try that.
Chair Simon, members of the Board of Supervisors, my name is Jim McGill. I'm the Fire Chief with the City of Modesto, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. As you are aware, prior to July 1st of 2006, there were several fire investigation platforms that existed in the county. There was one that provided fire investigation services to the City of Modesto. There was one that provided it to all jurisdictions involved in the Lessen Countywide Fire Service fees, and there is yet another one provided in the City of Turlock, which is neither covered by the City of Modesto nor is part of the Lessen Countywide Fire Service contract. On July 1st, we assumed responsibility for fire investigation services. The City of Modesto began fire investigation services in the Lessen Countywide Fire Service area. The goal was to meld the two systems. The one that existed for the Lessen Countywide Fire Service area was a 24-hour fire investigation coverage with no dedicated follow-up investigators. In the City of Modesto, we had two fire investigators that did a large amount of follow-up for the City of Modesto's on-call investigators. One of the things that neither platform could provide was both of those services. So when the opportunity came about to actually bid on this and to combine those services, we saw that as a great advantage to the system. Our goal is to provide 24-hour fire investigation coverage to all the Lessen Countywide Fire Service agencies and the City of Modesto, provide follow-up investigation services to all those areas, provide agency training and support when it comes to fire investigations, increase criminal filings and convictions countywide, enhance coordination and cooperation countywide. There were times when the two fire investigation units would be working, unbeknownst to them, working on the same case, but not communicate. And so enhancing coordination and cooperation countywide was important. And then also to do what we could to breathe life back into the Stanislaus County Arson Task Force. We are accomplishing this today with, again, three 24-hour investigators. And I think it's worth noting that two of those three 24-hour investigators are recent employees of the City of Modesto. They came to us from the Stanislaus Consolidated Fire Protection District, and both of them, one had 20 years of service, one had 16 years of service, and they came to fulfill this responsibility in the City of Modesto. We have two 40-hour follow-up investigators that are, we refer to them as supervising investigators that help coordinate the entire effort. The City of Modesto has part-time on-call investigators. These are firefighters that have been trained in fire investigation that fill an on-call status. The contract that you, or the dollar amount that you will see on the next slide includes some consistent staffing overtime. There are certain times of the year where we want to make sure that even though fire investigators are on vacation or away at school, that we have coverage. And then we will have overtime costs for incidents that will require more than one fire investigator. There's often times where we have a large fire where we will have every fire investigator that is available in the county there to help. And before you is the funding, the three captain's positions that I spoke about, two of which were filled by previous members of the Stanislaus Consolidated Fire Protection District. One of them is a City of Modesto Fire Department employee, half an administrative assistant. Oversight, our fire marshal will oversee this program. Again, their share of the overtime, and this overtime figure is more than matched in the City of Modesto Fire Department budget. Training, equipment, and a vehicle. This is a vehicle that has a tremendous amount of miles put on it because it covers the entire county, and we estimate, I think conservatively, that this vehicle may do 30 to 40,000 miles a year. So that is, in a nutshell, what we have been able to accomplish since July 1st. We are now 2.5 months into this program. We are fully staffed, and we are very pleased so far with the results.
Thank you, Chief. Any other comments?
We have a couple more slides. I would add to that the fire investigative unit is co-located with an MPD detective assigned to arson, and they're all located in one building under one roof, side by side. So the efficiencies are an automatic benefit to having them side by side. And we also have engaged with conversations with the sheriff, and we're looking at options to make sure that their detective assigned to arson is co-located or in the loop for the communication piece, so that we're a little more effective than we were in the past with two separate systems working in two different silos. They're all under one roof now, and we're all communicating. So I think that the benefits will be seen as time goes on. A couple more slides to complete this. As you look at the fire authorities' additional build out for the rest of this year, I think it's important to bring before you the finance administration component is already in place. That's been awarded to us. Maybe DeSimone provides those services to not only the fire authority but to all the fire districts. Two remaining services to be built out, three remaining services to be built out. The communications officer that has been bid on by one of the fire districts and will go to the fire authority the first week in October for award, so we'll have somebody on board by the end of the year. We also have the training officer responsibilities. That will be the performance expectations and the service levels have been defined. That will go out in October for agencies to bid on in November for award in December. And then finally, the last piece is special operations. Special operations are hazmat, confined space rescue, swift water rescue, high angle rescue, all of those highly technical skills that we need. That is the sixth component. And all six of these should be up and operational by the first of the year. So with that, that completes our presentation tonight. If there are any questions, if Chief McGill or myself would be happy to answer.
Thank you, Gary. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I did want to acknowledge the excellent work of the fire authority. I know we have Chief Basilacqua, Chief Skiles, and Gary Hinshaw, Chief Hinshaw in the room. Also want to recognize, acknowledge, and thank Chief McGill and the City of Modesto for stepping up, submitting a proposal for these services. We believe this represents a very good partnership for both the city and the unincorporated areas of the county in which we serve.
Any other questions?
Just a comment, Chairman.
Brian.
LAPCO is currently undergoing all the fire service MSRs, and it's a pretty thick book. If all the board members haven't had a copy of that, I'll ask LAPCO to get copies. And I just think the board needs to be aware of what's in this document. It basically does an overview of every single fire agency within the county, and LAPCO will take the in-depth review on September 27th. But I want to make sure all the board members have all the information in that book.
Supervisor Grover.
I'd just like to commend all of you that have worked so hard on this, and I think this is an excellent example of good government, and hope to see more of it and cooperation among our different agencies.
Thank you. Any other comments? My comment would be that, Chief McGill, I think the city is well served by your being in that position for the city, and I think Gary, the county is extremely well served with you also. Mm-hmm. And I've been here a long time, and I've never seen two chiefs cooperate as much as you two have. And so the general public is extremely well served. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve.
Also move.
Second.
We have a motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you. I made a mistake in the consent calendar. I passed by, I didn't realize these were on the consent calendar, so I'm going to return to B1C, and Robert Wright has made a request to speak on that item, so we'll put it back on if they're still here. Is Robert Wright here or not? I apologize. I just didn't recognize that you wanted to speak on that item.
Yes, sir. I'm Robert Wright. I'm the owner of the set property at 1235 East Greenway. And this is Roy Wilkinson. And I'd like to have him represent me in this case.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. About a year ago, we decided to buy
an additional piece of property to expand our business. And so we contacted a local realtor, and they looked around and came up with the perfect piece for us. Now, we probably should have done our due diligence, but we trusted the realtor when they found this piece of property right off Highway 99 with access, 2.5 acres. It just fit our business. So we purchased the property, and it was in an extremely neglected condition when we bought it. We cleaned it up, painted all the buildings, put new fencing all the way around it, and was going to do, not only kept our trucks and our equipment there, but we intended to do some painting there, some sandblasting. But someone down the road from us evidently didn't want us there and called and turned us in, and we got a cease and desist notice. Well, immediately when we got that, we stopped everything. We took the signs down. We don't do anything on that property at all right now except store our trucks in the evening inside a garage. And so we've been trying to look at new sites, but it's totally devastating to us, our size of business, just to up and move and go find another piece of property. That was our first venture into it. We purchased it about a year ago, and it's 2.5 acres. And so our people right now only meet about 7 o'clock in the morning, get their job directions, and go wherever it is. And most of our business comes from the ag industry. Now, we don't raise crops or horses on the property, but 80% of our business comes from the ag industry. We do the feed mills and so forth. So we thought that we could do that out there. And so we're where we are today. So I guess what we're asking for is your consideration, and quite possibly finding some, at least a temporary arrangement to allow us to get our footing and see what we can do. We've stopped everything that we can possibly do with the exception of moving out. Nobody knows we're there. Last time at the abatement board meeting, we had one of the neighbors there, and they loved having us there because we cleaned up the property, and the abatement board commended us for what we had done in that property. So we're where we are. I guess we're asking your at least consideration to help us find, maybe short of just shutting us down, because we've ceased and desist everything we can, with the exception of just parking our trucks inside a building overnight, and that's all the operation that we do there. I don't know. Do you have any questions?
Does anyone have any questions?
I'm just curious, so what kind of business do you have?
I'm sorry, we're painting contractors.
Chairman Simon, I don't have a question, but I would like to hear from the staff.
Yeah, we'll call on the staff next. Thank you, and we'll see what the staff has to say.
Okay.
And if necessary, I may call you back. These items are back on the agenda. We'll have to act on them individually because it was my error in including them in the overall approval. No? Pardon me? Well, I didn't remove them. Did someone remove them? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I did mention them. Okay, then I didn't make a mistake. But anyway, I think I made a mistake. So we'll hear from the staff, and then we'll call back.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good evening. Michael Newton, Manager, Environmental Resources. And the property is zoned agricultural. There is a property next to it that is ag that's got a plan development on it, and a couple of other in the area that are still zoned agricultural. The property backs up to 99, as you indicated. It's right across the street from the city of Turlock, and I have had conversations with the gentleman and representative from regarding the property and what they needed to do. And that was that they couldn't run their paint business off the ag property. They still have employees showing up there for work. They still store a lot of their paints and so on and their work vehicles on the parcel.
Any questions of the staff?
Have they applied for a zoning change, or have they applied for anything?
No, not to my knowledge. I've spoke this morning to the city of Turlock, which we suggested they start with Turlock because they're right across the road from Turlock. Turlock hasn't heard from them. I've also suggested they look at alternative sites, like in Denair or other places that are properly zoned, and to my knowledge, they haven't done that either.
Supervisor Grover? Would the conditions be any different here than they are on Dakota and some of those other areas where we're having similar problems?
No, sir.
And how much time do they have to vacate the property as it stands?
Well, if the board finds this evening in the favor of the nuisance board, they would have 2 weeks to appeal your decision with a judicial review, and then after that, then we would be authorized to take some type of an enforcement action.
Any other questions? If not, then we are going to take individual action, because I think the only thing I did initially was to state that they were going to speak. I didn't say these should be removed from the agenda. So we will have to take this item individually, B1C, and we'll need a motion to either approve or deny the staff's recommendation. What's the pleasure of the board? I guess
is this so much different than anything else that we've been that we've had to abate? It's no different than anything else we've done.
No, sir. It's a business on an ag zone property,
yep.
And it's not allowed for the zoning ordinance.
Okay.
I think in terms of consistency, we need to deny this. Okay, we have a motion for denial. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
We have a motion to second denial of the appeal and approval of the staff's recommendation. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Next item that I spoke to was item B1G, and it's Ray Gonzalez that wishes to speak.
Members of the board, I'm going to be speaking for my father, Ray Gonzalez. My name is Moses Gonzalez. He is the owner of property 530 East Peter Road.
Get a little closer.
Yep. I'm sorry.
right above the mic.
Right there, is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I put it up?
Right there. There it is.
Okay. There you go.
We're very complicated here.
Okay. My dad is the owner of 530 East Peter Road in series. And we've been having a lot of problems in the past couple of years. And I know you guys have been having a lot of letters maybe sent, you know, by the neighbor, and we've tried our best, you know, to comply, you know, with their needs, you know, and, you know, abide by the rules, you know, the county rules and everything. We've cleaned the property out, you know, and we've done a lot of things, you know, that the board has made us do, or the county. And the next step they want us to do is demolition all the houses. When we bought the property, I had 5 properties on there, and they were all standing. They were all not in great condition, you know. They weren't really, like, you know, properties that you can live in. You know, they were kind of like, you know, they had their ups and downs, in other words. And they sold it to us like that, and we bought it like that. And it's an agricultural zoned area. But they never told us about downzoning, you know, about applying for a residential zoning, you know, like to downzone the agricultural. And now they're making us demolish all the houses, but we don't understand, you know, the reason for that, you know, because I know the properties are not in good condition, you know, and we applied for to remodel the houses and, you know, to do whatever, you know, we need to do to keep the houses up, because we've been struggling with this for 2 years, and, you know, we've been trying our best, you know, to, like, do everything, but, you know, sometimes money, you know, isn't there, and sometimes it's just different. There's a lot of obstacles come up, and we don't know what to do, you know. It's like, we need, you know, more time, we need, you know, like, more understanding, or, you know, like, comprehension from you guys. You know, we've tried our best, you know, to comply with everything that you guys have made us do, but if you guys can maybe, you know, help us out with I don't know, just anything, as long as, you know, what do we have to do in order to, how do I say this? In order to let us keep the properties how they are and, you know, just fix them, just give us a little bit more time. I don't know, is there anything that we can do, or?
We'll find out.
Okay. So, that's pretty much it. You know, we have a lot of receipts here of everything, you know, they've made us do. And we just wanted to, you know, just put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, pretty much it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll try to get some answers for
you. All right. Thank you.
This parcel is at 530 East Taylor Road, and we've dealt with this parcel since 1999. I believe Mr. Gonzalez has owned it since probably 2002, I believe, 2002. And we still receive complaints prior to him purchasing the property. We've removed speed lamps off of one of the structures that I think has since been torn down. We do have complaints from the neighbors. We have tried to work with Mr. Gonzalez since 2004, 2003, and now we've been working with him here probably the past year again. He is allowed to have five dwellings on that property. Right now, they've been there probably since the 40s, I believe. The assessor's office and through the determination of the planning department, they're allowed to have five cabins on this property. That's what's been there. So they can continue to do that. The problem is the remaining structures, I believe there's two, are being lived in, are substandard. The building department's looked at it. There's been additions to them, unsafe repairs. There's electrical wire and other problems with the two that they have rented out. They don't fit the housing law or the building code. We originally told them, try to fix them. We gave them 45 days. On those two that they have rented out to begin repairs, and they didn't do that. What they did is started to pour a foundation for another structure, which was red tagged by the building department because it didn't meet the building code. The three other structures that are on there were deemed as dangerous buildings. They are uninhabitable. We posted them all five structures as uninhabitable. But until the two people move out to the ones they have rented, we can't secure it and keep people from living there. Three places need to be removed, and the other two that they have rented out, we gave them ample time, this time over a year, to fix those by building permits and to try to bring them up to some type of to a standard. This was presented to the Nuisance Abatement Hearing Board on the 19th, and they found that the property was a nuisance. The structures were to be removed, all five of them. It's my understanding, talking to them this evening, that Mr. Gonzalez has worked with Mr. Reyes, who's a local contractor, and he is considering taking on the project. But what's there needs to be cleaned up. We have a rat infestation. This affecting neighbors. There's dogs. They did have garbage service, even though they're not in a mandatory area. The garbage service stopped over 3 weeks ago. There's garbage scattered all over the property. And this is a small parcel, but nonetheless, garbage and a number of abandoned autos as well.
Okay, any questions of the staff? So you're asking for the removal, actually, of all five.
That's correct, sir. All five of them, there's three of them that are not, that have to be removed. They're so badly damaged and in so poor shape, they have to be removed. There's two other ones that we instructed Mr. Gonzalez earlier this year and then in June to get remodel permits with the billing department, work with the billing department, and make the repairs per the building code. They failed to do that. The building are really financially not feasible to do any repairs to them. They just need to be removed. They've outlived their life and too many repairs on them that were not permitted.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor DeMartini.
I assume this is out in an agricultural area, the A2 zone?
That's correct.
You say there are five different buildings on this parcel. Could you tell me about how many acres this parcel is?
I think it's a little over 3 acres, I believe.
You're asking that does all the buildings be removed. If he did that, would he be able to build new buildings?
Yes.
He would. But the building that's been started, was it didn't have a permit? Or what was the problem with
well,
that?
Well, yeah, they started to do a foundation that the building department went out to inspect, and that was red tagged. It wasn't done by building code. They've also started to rebuild on an old cement slab that was not up to code, and also started to frame the exterior, also not up to code. So the building department told them to stop. We told them to fix the ones that are bad first and then proceed. They decided to do it the other way around, but right now the structure that they started on are red tagged.
Okay. Was the foundation that he was pouring for this new building, did he get a permit for that?
No.
Okay, any other questions? The board needs to take action then on this item.
Okay, you say this has been going on since 1999?
Yes, sir.
And he's been made aware of all the things he has to do?
Yeah,
and he hasn't complied with any of them?
He has had garbage service for a small period of time, and that stopped. And they've done some cleanup, but not enough to bring the property into compliance with the county code.
Supervisor DeMartini asked if he takes them all down, he's allowed to build five more?
That's correct.
Okay. If he takes them all down?
That's correct.
Okay. I see no reason to continue this on. There's been ample time to take care of the problem he has, and I would reject the... make a motion to reject this.
Yeah. To adopt staff recommendations.
To adopt the staff recommendation.
Approve the staff recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion to second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered. 6:40 p.m. scheduled matter. Do you understand what happened? The board did not accept your appeal, and they have upheld the staff recommendations. I'm sorry. Okay, we're done with the bees now. Okay. I'll put them back in the file.
In the file.
I don't know. Maybe look.
Go ahead, Jim.
Good evening, Chairman Simon, members of the board. Jim Duvall, Deputy Director of Planning and Community Development. Before you this evening is the request to hold a public hearing for the Consolidated Annual Performance Evaluation Report as required by the Community Development Block Grant Program. As you know, as you recall, on August 29, staff presented to you the draft document. Following that presentation, you did release it for a required two-week public review. That time frame has elapsed, and now it's the appropriate time to conduct the public hearing, soliciting any further information that folks might want to provide us. And following that, then the action that we recommend you take is to adopt the CAPR.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the staff? We're going to open the public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who's here to speak on this item? Seeing none, then we close the public hearing and it's ready for board action.
Need a motion?
Yeah.
Also move.
Second.
We have a motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
We'll next to the 6:45 public hearing to rezone Excel Center.
Good evening, Chairman Simon. I'm Ron Freitas, Director of Planning Community Development. With me this evening is Bob Ketchel, Senior Planner, and Bob will present this item to you and the Planning Commission's recommendation.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I am Bob Ketchel. I prepared this report. It's a rezone application recommendation from the Planning Commission On a 9-0 vote, they recommended that you approve this rezone. The request specifically is a request to change an existing PD, that's plan development number 40, to a new plan development to allow for the expansion of the Excel Center Residential Treatment Center for Troubled Boys. Presently, it's a 10.56-acre property located south of Turlock. It contains a number of buildings, permanent and modular. The changes will include the removal of several existing buildings. New buildings will be constructed to improve the overall facility. There'll be two phases. They're listed in your staff report. Excuse me, I moved away from the microphone. Let me give you some information on exactly where we're talking about. This was originally the Jack Smith Ranch for some of you that have been around for quite a while. You may remember that name. As you can see, it's located on the west side of Youngstown Road, right near the county line. This is Highway 99, Golf Road. We recall we had a church application years, so very controversial right down in this area. So I'll give you an idea of exactly where we are. This is the general plan designation for the area. As you can see by the white, all that is agricultural on the general plan. This is a site that's been here with the PD since quite some time. PD number 40 goes way back. I don't have the exact date on it, but it goes back. Zoning, again, mostly agriculture, city of Turlock over here, M zoning over here. Additional plan development up in here, but again, primarily an agricultural area with an A210 zoning, not A240. This is rather unusual, but we do have a bit of A210 south of Turlock rather than A240. It was one of those areas that was left 10 rather than changed to 40 back in the 80s when the changes were made. There is an aerial photo of the site taken from the county's air photos. As you can see, the project is, it's got an access road here, goes through the middle of it. These are some old buildings that have been on the site for quite some time. It's hard to kind of pick these out, but these are various buildings, classrooms, shops, some of the buildings that the boys live in. And hopefully you can make some usefulness out of that photo. Late yesterday afternoon, we received a letter from the owners of this property to the south. This is the first we've heard from them. They didn't talk to anybody. They didn't explain anything to us. They didn't come to the Planning Commission hearing. I believe you have the letter before you. And they also submitted some pictures. If they're here tonight, when they speak, we'll show you the pictures so they can explain what the pictures show. But we're not really prepared in depth to respond to those comments because, again, the first we heard about any opposition was late yesterday afternoon. No phone calls, no nothing at the Planning Commission. Here you can see the surrounding parcel sizes, and you can see probably why back in the 80s it was left A210. You can see lots of 10-acre parcels, smaller parcels over here. We got a 20 here and a 29 down here. Right here, we have state-owned property at a rest stop. And one of the issues mentioned in the letter is that the boys from here cut across here and come down. They knock the fence down, and they go in here, and they buy stuff out of the vending machine, and then they go back to the ranch. That was one of the items raised in here. But I think the key here is to show the proliferation of small parcels on that general vicinity. Land uses, this one's a little bit hard to read. Residential vacant field crops over here. These are all field crops here. Got an orchard here. These are residential. And most of these are residential, and there's a house moving business right directly across the street, right in this location, and then an orchard right down in that location. This is the site plan for the facility. It's in two phases.
The striped areas here are part of the first phase, and the phases are laid out very specifically in your staff report. I hope you've had a chance to look at those rather than me repeat them all. The overall goal is to make some changes which will increase the square footage, remove some old buildings, bring some new ones in. They also intend to consolidate. They've got a couple other homes in the Turlock area that will be closed, and the boys all brought into this area. We had an interesting comment from Caltrans. This project will, by the applicant's estimate, reduce traffic by about 50%, and Caltrans wanted a traffic study to explain why that was going to happen. And that was one of the more unusual requests we've had, and we kind of hopefully worked through that with Caltrans. That, no, they're not increasing it, they're decreasing it. But anyway, these would be the first phase buildings. These would be second phase buildings, new septic leach fields. We've got a number of conditions applying to this thing. The buildings here are existing buildings which will remain, and you can see there'll be some removal of buildings, namely up here in the front area, also back into here. So quite a few changes going on. There'll be some additional landscaping placed around the building. This site plan is again hard to read, but it shows landscaping in front of most of the new buildings. These are the elevations of the typical elevations of the buildings that will be going out there. They'll be consistent with the buildings that are on site. If any of you have been out there, had a chance to go out there, it's a relatively attractive site. I hadn't been out there in probably 30 years on business, and the place looked pretty good. I was out there. I don't know if it was spring break or something, but the kids weren't there the day I was out there. It just so happened I went out to deliver some information and to pick up some information from the applicants. Rezone findings. The only application here is a rezone, and rezone findings are probably the easiest set of findings that you have. You have to find that the project is consistent with the overall goals and policies of the county general plan as described in the Planning Commission staff report, and we have talked about that, and we believe that those findings can be made. Finally, the staff recommendation, which is also the Planning Commission recommendation, again on a 9-0 vote, with nobody showing up in opposition. In fact, when the Planning Commissioners commented that after 40 years they must be doing a pretty good job if they have no opposition, so now we have some. Recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant approval of Rezone 2006-05, the Excel Center, subject to the development standards, development schedule, mitigation measures, and actions listed on pages 5 and 6 of the Planning Commission staff report. And with that, I'll stop and answer any questions that you may have rather than plow through this report. Thank you.
Any questions from the board?
I was out there about a year and a half ago, and I remember it was a well-kept place. But is there a fence at all on the south end of the property?
I don't recall any fences at all.
I can't recall. It's been so long since I've been out there. Because we had the letter from the neighbors that said the kids are getting out of that area and opening the irrigation gates. So there is no fence at all then around any of it, you think?
Not that I recall seeing. I wasn't particularly looking for that, but I don't recall seeing them. I recall it being just an open area.
Any other questions? This is a public hearing, and I'm going to open the public hearing. Is there someone here to speak on behalf of the project? You're here on behalf of the project? Take it one at a time.
My name is Terry McAllister. I'm with the Excel Center. As you have heard, this property has been a location of a residential treatment program for troubled youth for the past 35 years. And you also heard it began many, many years ago as the Jack Smith Boys Ranch in 1971. At that time, they had one dormitory that was housing a very small number of boys. And Moss Beach Homes, our parent company, acquired this property in 1987. It then became known as Excel Center, and since that time has grown to house 34 youth in 5 homes on this property here. And also, we have a non-public school that we provide the county with for special education students. Our proposal is to construct 4 homes on this main campus here at Youngstown Road, and this would replace 3 homes that are currently located off of the property in various locations in the city of Turlock. And it would also replace an older existing home that's currently there on the property. The consolidation of these homes onto the main campus would, as you've heard, significantly reduce the total number of vehicles that enter and exit the property throughout the day. This is from the outside homes that I've already mentioned, and they're coming for staff meetings, social worker appointments, group sessions for the boys, school transportation, and other various activities. Therefore, then it would reduce our overall transportation costs too. In addition, the project also then proposes to add, as you heard, the second point of access to the property, and then reposition the main driveway. And this would then provide improved access for all, including fire trucks and other emergency vehicles. The project also then proposes to replace a very old shop building and an outdated modular building. So upon completion, if approved, the facility and the overall program then would be more functional and aesthetically pleasing. And if there's any questions, I would like to address the comment that was made earlier concerning the boys going over to the rest stop to make purchases in the vending machines. That's not the case. Unfortunately, the youth that we serve, they are troubled, as we all well know, and on occasion, the way they handle situations sometimes is to try to run away. That's what's happening there. They're not being allowed to go over and make purchases in a vending machine at a rest stop and come back. That's not the case. On occasion, it does happen. They do run away, and that's one of the routes that they may take. So,
okay, thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, I have one. You say that you're going to close some of the houses down in Turlock itself?
Yes, we have 3 homes currently.
Yeah, 3 homes? How many kids do you have there? How many kids in those 3 homes?
There's a total of 18 kids in those 3
okay,
homes.
Okay, so have you had problems with them in Turlock?
Nothing that... I'm going to defer to our executive director, and he can answer those questions, if that's okay.
That's okay with me.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Chris Escher. I'm the director of Excel Center. And yes, actually, there's a whole philosophical change, which is the reason we're closing the townhomes. Also substantial financial savings. It's been 5 years since the governor seemed fit to give a rate increase. We're working essentially with the same dollars we did 5 years ago. In the 20 years that I've been at Excel Center, and I started back when it was Jack Smith Ranch, we've had a single complaint filed or a single deficiency noted in the 20 years of licensing visits and all the other things, and it was essentially for a ring and a bathtub we had that we couldn't seem to get rid of. That's where I lost most of my hair, I think. That was the extent of the deficiencies. We paid $50 for it, and it drove me nuts. We resurfaced the tub. We did all kinds of things. It turned out to be a shadow that focused down. We discovered later we paid the $50. We have not had any significant complaints. On our Linwood property, we had a lady that was sure that we had something to do with the demise of her horse. Nothing to do with the demise of her horse, but that's the extent in the 20 years I've been there.
Thank you. Any other questions? No.
What about the people to the south that claim the kids are getting out and opening up the irrigation gates? What do you say to that?
I read their letter and I thought the tenor of their letter was not negative. I didn't find it offensive. I know that that could potentially happen. I've been out there walking the property and those things are pretty cool to look at. And I can imagine a kid who is out pulling weeds or doing something as a consequence to go over there and spin one of those irrigation valves. We would do whatever. This came as a surprise, and I saw the photos of what had happened. That was a bit of a surprise to me, but I think as maybe Mr. Mayfield and Mr. DeMartini would know, as farmers, I was talking to a friend of mine today who said they simply, you can chain those down and lock them down, and we'd be more than happy to do that. In terms of the fence, though, which is one of the recommendations, we don't want to fence in our kids and essentially fence in our families. We have boys from 9 to 18. They drive down the property, the long road, and they come from places they've never been in an agricultural setting before. They're scared to death. And one of the things when they come out of juvenile hall or they come from pretty horrific environments that they see is this open, beautiful campus with grass everywhere. And we tell them we have locks on the inside, on the doors to keep people from coming in, not going out. And it's just philosophically, that's the same reason we're closing the homes in town. We feel if kids are able to maintain their behavior in a town home, they belong in a foster home, a treatment foster home. They don't belong in a group home. And by moving them back onto the campus, yes, we're going to be accepting the kind of kids. The days of orphanages are gone. The kids that come to us are difficult and they have problems. And we've tried to be good neighbors. I think the Johnsons are here. And again, I don't have any malice about them bringing this to our attention. I think had it happened before, we could have brought their attention before. We would have done something to mitigate it, whether it's lock those things down or do something to make things right. That's the kind of neighbors we hope we've been over the years.
Are you talking about the valves, or are you talking about the boxes that they open? Is it the valves that irrigate the check?
Between our two properties, there's boxes. I know you're a farmer, but
I'm a farmer, yeah.
There's boxes with those things that come this way, and water comes out, and then there's a valve that does this. Some of those have chains on them now. And I have to imagine this happened several years ago, or a few years ago, just recently. But it certainly wasn't brought to my attention. I know that we'd had that happen over the years, just as we've had our Hignall house flooded when a berm wasn't maintained, and this was prior to their owning the property next door. But we're certainly willing to work with them and do whatever we need to do. I just would really hate to surround the property with a fence because I think it sends the wrong message to our kids.
But you're willing to take care of the opening and closing of the valves or the box so it doesn't happen?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Whether it's, I don't know if you can, and Terry's going to check with TID, but I understand it's a normal practice to lock those down and to put locks on those.
Who's got the key?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't.
I'm not sure. Are these control boxes or irrigation gates?
They're gates.
Your irrigation gates. So these aren't the big control boxes.
We'll come forward and talk in a minute. Supervisor Grover? My question was answered. I was curious how the fence would affect their operation, and he answered it.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions of these two gentlemen? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else to speak on behalf of this application? Anyone opposed to this application?
While they're coming up, if I may make a note on the photo, if you may note, north is this way. This map is actually upside down to what we're used to seeing.
Okay, do you want to give us your name and address?
John Johnson, 2631 Youngstown Road.
Terry Johnson, same address.
Yeah, what that is a community line. And and those gates are on that line, and somebody else gets water, and those gates are left open, then the water goes onto our property, you know. And there's times when the guy's not getting his water, well, they'll come back and they've got to close those gates back down again. And I put the chains on there and bolted down. Hell, I can't afford to buy full Oxbury, one of those things. It's about 14 gates. And all I might is just put a chain link fence up along that easement there.
But this was brought to our attention because children were climbing into the gates.
Yeah, this is
a life-threatening. They have no business in those gates. Climbing inside.
It's a 30-inch line. You can crawl in there.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why did you not appear before the Planning Commission? Was there a reason for that? And why did you just wait till today to make an application? That's what I heard them say, but is that...
this district already kind of heard of this, so I don't...
And I had to come to town yesterday, is why I dropped off the letter. I didn't want to get lost in the mail if I personally came to town.
But were you aware there was a Planning Commission hearing on this issue?
No, sir. No, we would have been there, sir.
They were sent a notification.
You were sent...
No doubt. We were sent...
You were notified. Okay. Just a question. I want to make sure you're notified. Any questions?
If the applicant would provide a chains and 14 locks with a single key for you...
That's not working. How are we going to do that?
Well, I have farmland, and it would work fine for me. It would just be a matter of unlocking it and then locking it back when you're done. Why wouldn't that work?
The two main boxes. All of the growers that also share those two main boxes to set up their irrigation, where do they get their keys from?
They could provide them. The way we do it in our part of the world is each person provides their own padlock and they put them in consecutive order, and then you unlock your padlock and relock it. It's not an uncommon solution. It happens all over the county.
But we have a home of troubled boys, and we are bringing 40 more young men. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it's the luck of the draw. You have staff that are not dedicated, and then you have bad kids. You have bad experiences. You get a good pool of staff and a good pool of kids, you have good experiences. But these kids need to be supervised and kept on the property. Going to the rest stop, we know that that's a lie. Those kids are running from the home. Well, who's watching these children?
Okay, so different than what the letter says, you are opposed.
No, I'm not opposed to
it. We would just like a fence. There's a fence on the other side of the property.
No, I'm not opposed to this at all. I think it's a good program.
It's a wonderful program.
No, there's no way to live. If we can't get the fence, I'm not gonna say no.
Okay.
But then on the adjacent side of the property, there is a fence.
On the north side of the fence.
Okay. Can you point that out? Can we have that map back up there, please?
Well, the M's are. There's a fence.
And this is north is down, is that is the
case
here? Yeah,
this is the north side here.
So there's a fence along there?
Johnson's property is over here. I apologize for that.
Okay, but is there a fence on that?
Yes,
is that north side?
Is that a fence?
Yeah, there's a fence. Yes, sir.
Is it? You're saying no? Like a 4-foot chain link fence?
Wait a minute, is there a fence on the other side? Whether it's 4 feet or 5 feet or 2 feet, is there a fence on the other side?
On the almond there is. On the almond there is.
If you're able to put a fence on one side, why can't you put a fence on the other? Whether you feel fenced in or not, I mean, it would be terrible.
Okay, well, let's stop for a second. Are you finished with your presentation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And now we'll take the questions of you so that we can sort of separate this. Supervisor Mayfield had a question to you.
Yes, sir.
No, you said you didn't want to fence him in. I understand
right. That.
You got a good program. I understand that. But you said that it wasn't, you didn't want to fence him in, but yet now we find there's a fence on one side, but not the other side.
Wasn't trying to be disingenuous. It's an old fence left over from back in the day when it was. It's a fence. It's about this high with some old wooden posts and a couple of strings of wire, but it only may go a section of 20 feet. It doesn't run the length of the property, and it's actually behind the barn you see there.
Right here?
At the entrance of the property. Right in about there, there's a fence. But there's never been a maintained fence or a chain link fence of any height. It's a little fence. Years ago, they had a horse program out there until our insurance company said otherwise. So there is no fence.
Okay. If you can take care of their concerns, I don't have a problem with it. But if you have a farm, if you have a ranch, or whatever you have, mm-hmm. and you have gates, the open gates to irrigate your crop, there's nothing worse than to go out there in the morning and find half your place flooded because somebody opened your gates. Now, we don't patrol it. We don't patrol our pipelines all the time.
Right.
So I'm not against your program. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying you gotta keep them. You gotta keep them away from the gates so they don't have to lock them all.
Right.
And just that he locks his. I'm on different pipelines and we don't lock ours.
Right.
But I would hate to wake up in the morning and see about 10 acres flooded, because that wouldn't be a good thing. It would not be a good thing.
Absolutely. And I think we can deal with that issue, just as Supervisor Grover suggested. But we've worked with thousands of kids over the year, and yes, kids, elope the program. We do supervise the children. There are various levels in the program, and they have different amounts of freedom. 40 out of our 52 kids go to public school. The kids on the property during the daytime are children that are sent from the county chaplain that have emotional disturbances, and oftentimes those are the kids. They're not necessarily kids in residence.
I have a question. Are they talking about chain linking, chain fencing the entire parcel of this property, or are they talking about only putting a chain link fence across to separate theirs? You know?
I'm not sure.
Just their side.
So just along here?
Yeah. Just along here, mm-hmm. where you've got the arrow. And do you know how many feet that is, roughly? Does anybody know?
1,300
feet. Do you know what it costs to do that? And 14 tons. I can't figure this out. How much? $18,000 to fence it off. One line of fence. Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I'd still like to ask a couple of questions about the irrigation gates, because I'm still not sure exactly what they're talking about. First of all, how often are these gates open? Does this just happen once? Does it happen several times a year? Is this a constant problem, or?
You need to come back up.
We can't hear you at all, sir. And when you answer that question, too, I'd like to have the staff point to where the pipeline is. Because I'm still not, even with all you said, I'm not sure if you're talking about irrigation valves in the field or the control boxes with the stop gates.
Okay. Irrigation valves go all the way across that field there.
That's where the arrow is pointing. Those are valves, okay. Right?
Maybe the arrow is
a little on there.
I'm sorry, we're trying to get, it brought some pictures and we're trying to get them in the machine. Could you please repeat? I apologize.
While you're setting that up, how many times have you been flooded? Is this a daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly?
I would say maybe monthly.
Huh?
I'd say it would happen on a monthly basis.
A monthly basis.
Because, you know, when you're irrigating, that box supplies, that line supplies irrigation to the corn down there, all that stuff over in there, all that line keeps going. Goes all the way in the trough. Mm-hmm. It's the main line.
So you're not the only one that irrigates from that line, by far.
On that line, yes.
Are you the only one that irrigates that line?
No, because that line supplies water to other people.
Yelling, but you have, I'm just trying.
Okay.
Do you have a box that you could lock to keep,
No, there's no way.
There's no way?
No.
So
So you,
so your valves, because your valves are right on top of the main line?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because you've got a box that goes this way.
Yeah.
And then it goes this way.
Okay.
You open the gate, you know, okay, convert the water that way.
So you couldn't lock a box down and keep yourself dry?
No.
Mr. Johnson, would you like us to show your photos?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
He brought in some photos, and we've got them here that you can...
They're pretty lousy.
Well, maybe they'll help explain some of what you've got here. These are submitted by them as of yesterday. There's the first one.
Okay, that's where it's gotten flooded out right there. And we're trying to prep that ground for some alfalfa and kind of, you know, luck on that deal. Somebody went in there and opened that gate.
Could you explain where the property line is?
Yeah, we see where those trees are over there.
Okay.
And that hill is right there. That's where that line's running.
That's your north property line?
Yes.
And their south property line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And there is a pipeline in that levee along there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the pipeline runs along here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And is Youngstown Road at the back of the picture?
To the east.
Yeah. Or is Youngstown Road back here?
No, I think it's this way.
It's that way. Okay.
And you said you're trying to grow some alfalfa?
We're gonna plant this year. I've got at least alfalfa.
Okay, so you can't be flooded that often, can
no,
you?
Alfalfa won't take that.
It won't take that, no.
No.
Supervisor Grover?
I was going to ask the folks that run Excel, they were standing up when I pushed the button with it.
Who do you want to ask?
The folks that run the property.
Okay.
I understand your concerns and your constraints with fencing for the folks that you have as clients. Have you explored the idea? I understand that it's a recent change here. The idea of perhaps a 4-foot chain link with some landscape planting along them, along the length of it. You know, it could enhance the feeling of the property that you have, $20,000 in terms of a building project for your building, 5 new houses is nothing that you want to spend extra, but in order to get along with the community, is it something that could be considered?
Certainly. It's not something we'd like to do, but if we're required to do it, we'll do it. I'm a little surprised because I've never spoken with the Johnsons about any kind of this ever happening before. I've known that there has been flooding, but I've never, and my office is right there in the center of the property, had anyone come over and say, hey, wait a minute, this happens on a monthly basis. I've not seen it, and my office is, I've also brought some pictures of the situation, but it's not, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, obviously, we'll do what we need to do to be good neighbors, and I think we have been, which kind of comes as a surprise to us.
Sort of, yeah, thank you.
11th hour. But
any other questions here?
Thank you.
Did you have an answer? We're finished, and then we'll go. Do you have any other comments to make?
Pardon me?
What pictures do you have to show? I'm sorry.
They're on the screen now. They're essentially, if we scroll through real quickly, we'll get to the boxes, and I think you'll have a good idea of a better idea of the property. Those are the boxes we're talking about.
Well, those are gates. Those are valves.
Those are valves. Okay. That's the property line there where the gates, and there's several of them down. I think there's another picture as we scroll down. That's another part of the back of their property. You can keep going. There's another gate, and I don't have glasses, but where they actually chained it down, so it must be doing something in terms of providing those from being turned. And there's another example there. So they are chained. That's the one box that I'm sure you can identify, but I don't know what it does. but I know those can be chained down as well.
Okay. Distribution box.
Turlock District has done that. So, anyway.
It sounds like there's properties on beyond their properties.
That's true.
That use that.
Okay, but does his take off for theirs in place?
That's an example of a neighbor who
does
that.
Does your
gate, does your valve take off of that main distribution box? Is it separate from that's in the picture?
Yeah,
put the picture back up. I've never seen such a confusing public hearing in my life. Now you want to point that out, Tom?
Wait, go back. Okay.
That's not here. What?
Okay. You've got a distribution box. You've got a distribution box there.
Yeah.
Do you have to open any of those to get water in your land?
No. This one here, what happens is the water comes into that box.
Yeah.
I don't know which way I'm facing here on that box, but one of those valves, you've got to open up and close the other one.
To get water on your property?
To get water on the property.
Yeah. Okay, but why can't you lock that gate there?
Because... Okay, now, all right, let's say the guy beyond me wants to get water. You know, on the
yeah,
corner.
Okay. So you're not the only one that opens that's going to go through that.
No, there's other people that come in there to open that gate. And then when you're done, you've got to close that down and open that gate so the water goes back.
Gotcha.
Okay, I think I finally understand it now. Why don't you just put locks on all your gates and chains the way you did on that one? Wouldn't that work for you?
It's pretty damn dang inconvenient.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. Any other comments from the audience? Then I'm going to close the public hearing and it's ready for board action.
The angles are hard in some of the photos.
Supervisor Grover, is that an old request?
I've had my say.
Anyone else want to have their say?
I'll have my say.
Okay.
The latest pictures kind of brought it all in perspective for me, and I would support this application as long as there was a fence along that one property line. Just looking at the pictures, it appears there needs to be a fence along that side.
Supervisor DeMartini?
Well, now that we've finally clarified whether gates or not, I've been out there before, but it's been a while. As I recall, it was a nice facility. I don't see why they couldn't just chain the gates down. That would probably cost a couple hundred dollars, and the fence is about $20,000.
Okay. Any other comments? We have a motion. I personally will make a comment that it seems to me that it's a terrific expense that other people are not experiencing, as expressed by Supervisor Grover. You can chain these down, you can lock them, and it may be inconvenient, but in exchange for an $18,000 fence, I'm in favor of chaining it down.
Can we have the applicant provide the locks or the expense of the locks?
Sure you can. Can we have a motion? Anyone?
Well, I'll be glad to make the motion since we're all struggling with this. We're just going to approve this recommendation from the staff and add the provision that the Excel Center provide locks and chains for Mr. Johnson's gates.
And keys for all the users.
And whatever keys are necessary.
Right.
But that we, at the expense of the Excel Center and the fence is not going to be necessary.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Correspondence?
This board has received a letter from the Urban Futures regarding proposed 2007 amendment to the redevelopment plan for the Houston Redevelopment Project.
We refer this to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office. Board of Supervisors reports, and I'm going to take the privilege of being the first in line. I had the privilege of having
The chamber put out an edition this month with my picture on the front and a long story representing a program that they're going to sponsor for me. And a very nice author called me, a young lady who spent, she could spend no more than 20 minutes to review 50 years of my life. And as a result, the article contained a number of pretty glaring errors. So before I get letters to the editor and calls from reporters as to whether this is correct or not, I want to make sure it's correct. And first of all, I was not born in Portland, Oregon. I was born, I don't know where that came from. I was born in Conrad, Montana. And that's quite a distance between the two. It also mentioned my career in the Air Force and said that I was a staff sergeant, but I flew B-29 bombers, and if anyone knows anything about the service, they don't allow staff sergeants to fly B-29 bombers. I was a flight crew member, my job was to keep the airplane flying and the engines running. So I'm sure that my aircraft commander, Captain Altheiser, who is living in Kentucky somewhere, would not be on the plane if he knew that I was in charge of flying it. I didn't wheel baby carriages around, and this is in response to my wife's objections today. She reminded me that she took my daughter around while I was campaigning in a stroller, and my son Jeff was 8 years old, and he told me today that he didn't really appreciate the fact that I said he was wheeling him around in a baby carriage. So I had to straighten that part out. Last but not least, I didn't arrest anybody in Seattle. That was a very major part of my life. I determined who the syndicate was. I penetrated the syndicate. I identified the people participating in the syndicate. I attended the trials, and I testified. But all of the arrests were made by the FBI because there were many foreign nationals involved in this incident and a lot of prominent people across the United States. So I want to make sure that people don't think I was running around arresting. I had no arrest authority. I'm writing a biography about that experience in my life, and any details that I give you from now on will be done when you purchase the portion of my biography, and they won't be revealed to anyone else. But I wanted to clear those up because it really was kind of funny. George Gakel called me, and a lot of people called me and said, gee, I didn't know you were a pilot, or I didn't know your kids were that young. And so I want to clear it up, get my conscience. Everything else I said in that article was a lie, so I just want to make sure that these are all correct. Thank you. Anyone else have any comments to make?
Thank you,
Supervisor DeMartini.
I would just like to mention that the third public meeting for the agricultural element will be on October 10th at 110 South 2nd Street in Oakdale. We've had two meetings already, one at the Harvest Hall at the Ag Center, and the other one just a few days ago in Crow's Landing. This will be the third public meeting. We will welcome anybody who has any comments on the agricultural element to come to the meeting. And if you're not able to come to the meeting, the agricultural element is available by the planning department, so you can review it. We would like to get written comments for anything that you would like to see changed. And it will probably go to the Ag Advisory Board about the first Monday of November, if you can have your comments in by that time.
Okay, any other reports? Okay, then legislative, fiscal, and management reports.
I think I will just hold my report to next week. Thank you.
Okay. If not, then this meeting is adjourned.